A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hans is off today. He's got a daughter graduating. So just a one-day thing. I know everybody panics when Hans is gone. I get it. I do too a little bit. It's okay. But Hans is out, and he'll be back tomorrow on a Friday edition of the show to help celebrate. Celebrate sounds like a bad word. We're not celebrating Hans being gone.
When a man makes a commitment to a show, he honors that commitment.
See, Lloyd,
he doesn't let graduation get in the middle, yeah, in the way of victory.
Because here's a little secret that you may not know. When Lloyd takes some time off, Hans may bring it up every now and then.
And so, only Lloyd, a few times here and there.
Lloyd, you have probably every right to chirp up every now and then. I think it's probably okay if you wanted to say a thing or two about our guy being gone. But it is an excused absence, considering the fact that he's got a daughter graduating high school today. Mackie, congratulations to you. We love you. We're fired up for you. She's got great things in front of her. So awesome, awesome day for the Olsen family, and we're fired up for them. For sure. All right. So we got a lot to get to on the program. So, you know the rules. You know what we talk about. When Hans is gone, it takes a village to fill in for the guy. So PK is going to join us coming up here in just a moment. Also coming up a little bit later on the show, Michelle Botkin will join us at 12:30. We'll chat with her about some of the stuff going on at the Hill, especially with the softball team. Kurt Heedlin, who was going to join us yesterday, will join us at 1:05. And then our good friend Tim Lacombe will join us at 2:05. So we got hoops, we got a little bit of football talk, and we got whatever PK wants to talk about. And because when PK comes on the show, you know what? I used to say this all the time. When DJ and PK, when we made the move, and we went over to 1320 and then came back to, we got absolved by, the Jazz bought 1280, and I've been working with him for nearly 20 years. And I always, anybody says, what's it like working with DJ and PK? I always say, you got one thing you need to know. You just make sure the mics work, and then you get out of the way. And that's it. That's all you got to do. PK, how are you?
Oh, Girard, I am doing so well. So many things on my mind on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I want to get into some deep, juicy topics. Let's start off with women.
So let's talk Pac-12, shall we?
The Utah women in the Pac-12 with basketball and softball have been absolutely sensational.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because, honestly, there's a lot of talk about the Pac-12 and we're getting into that. But honestly, if you really look at what's going on with Utah and their programs, and I know men's basketball may not be where you'd want it to be, but overall, it's kind of been a banner year for the University of Utah.
The ladies have balled out. The volleyball has been good. Obviously, gymnastics has always been good, but it's so fun to see the women in basketball and softball do this well nationally. You know, if it wasn't for maybe a missed free throw at what's-her-face Reese down in LSU, I got your finger right here. It could have been the Utes who could have been doing that. That's how close they came. Interestingly, the Utah women have gone to the Sweet 16 three times, Elite Eight twice. All three times, the team that eliminated them were the team that ultimately won it all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So you are you're a Pac-12 guy. You grew up with this conference. You went to school in this conference. Where's your concern level? Because there's a lot of, you know, look, there's a lot of talk out there. Some of it's real. Some of it may not be. But you're well connected. Where's your, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your concern level here?
Yeah, I'd say it's about 6.5, maybe trending towards 7 right now. Because, you know, we read the stuff. We hear the stuff. Every day, these same characters have been putting out stuff. And, you know, you got Big 12 people feeding Big 12 media. You got Pac-12 people feeding Pac-12 media. And, you know, where do you go with this? And then Barry Trammell, guy that we know very, very well, and he's saying that he's heard Colorado soon. Well, you know, given the fact that they've got that deadline to get out of contracts with a year notice and all, it has to be soon, you know, speaking from a month's perspective. At the same time, I've got people in town saying, you know, we're solidified. We're going to be okay. So I can't discount what they're saying. And obviously, I've got a bias. I want to see the thing get together. To me, I've been saying just get with San Diego State and SMU. I was told that. Oh, my gosh, what, August, September, after the dust settled a little bit with the two LA schools leaving? And, you know, they're still talking about that, and I want to believe them, so that's probably where I'm at there. I just have a hard time seeing that a conference of this caliber is going to disintegrate. And I know the Big East and football went away and the Southwest went away. I understand all that. But that was a long time ago. I think the Southwest was, what, 96, 97, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And those schools just basically became the Big 12 to an extent. Not completely, obviously, because some of them got the SEC. I just don't think it's good for college football, so therefore I don't want it. So I'm not going to go all the way with an 8 or a 9 or a 10.
So I love okay, so when I'm on the receiving end of awkward moments with you, it's not particularly fun. However, when it's with other people, it's highly enjoyable. And when you asked Chad Lewis, would you be okay with Utah being in the Big 12, the big man still has some steps. I mean, he was sidestepping that question beautifully. So let me ask you this. You do talk to a lot of people at BYU. What is the thoughts in Provo about potentially Utah if, you know, that thing collapses being in the Big 12?
Yeah, this is going to upset some BYU people who are steamed because they felt like the president at Utah way back when undercut them, you know, because they were going to go into the whack with their sports. And then we know what happened there, and they had to jettison them to the West Coast, blah, 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 and don't get them in the Pac-12, yada, yada. But what I had heard, going back, I'm trying to remember the timeline, maybe winter, maybe even before that, but I don't think much before that, is that the BYU folks are not looking to spite themselves, and they realize that the rivalry that you would have, you can make a strong argument, if Utah were to come into the Big 12, from day one, BYU-Utah would be the best rivalry. We know about this rivalry. We've been there. We've been on the front lines. We've been on the press row in basketball. We've been you know, on the sidelines in football. We know all about it. And I've lived in Arizona and California, worked in markets where they had Pac-12 rivals. And this puppy's as good as anything that I've experienced firsthand, for sure. So the word I got is that they wouldn't necessarily mind it because then they've got another travel partner, and then they've got somebody in their time zone that takes the pressure off them from literally every home game except the lower division one that they play, starting at 8:30 at night on a Saturday. And, you know, who wants that late October, November? Not too many people want that. I guess you can tolerate it more in September and earlier October with the weather being better, although it's somewhat of a hit and miss at that point too. So they think that it would benefit them. So let's not spite us and hurt ourselves if we can have somebody over here that could benefit us. So that's what I had heard.
Mm. Patrick Kinahan, you hear him every morning, 6 to 10, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. However, you know, on the flip side, this is not something I think Utah really would like to do. They would certainly like to keep that Pac-12 together. But, and you know, the interesting thing, you know, from, you know, that I think you brought up is that everybody seems to be unified, but you also don't want to be the last, you know, rat on the Titanic as the ship's going down. Is Utah in a situation where there's any level of panic? Because I'm with you. I've talked to a couple of people, and they still seem to have a high level of confidence that this thing's going to get done.
Right. That's where I'm at, top-level folks. And Mark Harlan has been public about that, so it's not it's a big secret. I'm speaking to guys in a back alley. Mark Harlan has been out in front. Every time you speak to him publicly, his message has been the same. But there's, you got to be aware. You know, I asked him point blank on the air, have you spoke to the Big Ten? And he said he didn't want to get into that, which screams yes. Well, of course.
Yes.
You'd be negligent in your duties if you didn't speak to them. But, you know, things have changed just from the fall to now. What's going on with the ACC? Is there something there? Oh, your mark, yeah, you know, you want to play games on Pluto and do all these crazy things and have a game in Rucker Park and, you know, I think he's going to start the lingerie league if it meant he can make another dollar because it seems like, you know, that's what he's thinking all the time. And good for him. Great. You know what I mean? The bar is low when you got Larry Scott. If that's all you got to supersede Kravkoff, we'll see what he can pull off and what he can do. He's trying, but, you know, he's still fairly new, recognizing that Yormark is even newer. I understand that. But it seems like Yormark's dealing from a position of strength, and the Pac-12 is trying to hold on to the tables before they fall overboard. You know, that's at least the perception anyway. So that's what they're talking about. But they've got to be prepared. And if worst comes to worst, I guess you could say, if it's the Big 12, well, they can be okay there. Yeah, they've, especially recently here in football, obviously, they've enjoyed immense success in the Pac-12, and they love it. And they've got a Pac-12 snobbery that we're bigger and better than BYU after for decades if that wasn't the case. And so they like their new home of 12 years, and they don't want to move. But, you know, there might be a divorce, and then you have to divide the property. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Scotty, here when that situation happens. Not personally, because I, you know, you live in bliss. Yep. I understand that. I tell my wife, why can't you be like Scotty's wife? I say that all the time to her. We vacationed with you guys in Mexico, so she's the gold standard as far as I'm concerned. But when it comes to that and there has to be a split, you divide the property and you take a hit there. They don't want that. They've been upfront about not wanting that, and I get it. I don't want that for them either. I fully understand where they are, but they've got to check and see all available options because you may have to move fairly quick.
All right. You've gotten word. You tweeted it out. Not only tweeted out a little bit more subtly than on Facebook, I think you were pretty open and honest about where Zach Wilson's younger brother was going to play football. Does this say anything? Is there anything we read into this? Is it just a kid connecting with the school and that's all? Or what is there anything that we can extract from this?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say up front that my prediction is Isaac Wilson will be drafted higher than Zach Wilson was. So let's get that out right
now. Wow. There's only one spot to go. That's impressive.
Well, if you consider only the NFL, I think there's a lot of things that went into it. And Utah fans may not want to hear this, but I think BYU cooled on their interest towards the end. And, you know, the Wilson legacy and all that maybe wasn't something that they thought that he might want to be involved in. But, you know, they still had him on the table for a scholarship, and they were going to honor that. If he chose BYU, they would have welcomed that. So I'm not saying that. I have no idea how good the kid's going to be at the collegiate level, right? He's not as big as Zach. I don't think he has the arm that Zach has, and we saw that phenomenal practice throw that he threw at the indoor facility 2 years ago. It was unbelievable, right? He'll live off of that. Hopefully he has more highlights in the NFL than a practice throw in a pro day, right? But yeah. I think for Utah, there's a form of symbolism there. Utah doesn't get the top quarterbacks in the state. There haven't been that many, but, you know, Corner Canyon has produced a few, and they don't get them. They go other places, Ohio State with the Brown kid, Dart kid, Wilson. So they're 0 for 3 there. You know, you don't want to be 0 for 4. Who's to say he doesn't blow up? I don't know. The odds are difficult with transfers, and because only one position, only one kid plays the position, it's hard to really say that, okay, he's going to be the guy. Because who knew that Cam Rising was going to be the guy coming out of Southern California High School after he goes to Texas, right? Friggin' Utah didn't even think he was the guy. They started Charlie Brewer first. So you don't know what's going to happen there. That was a horrendous decision, obviously. But I think symbolically, they got the top quarterback in the state, finally. Now, they've got some good quarterbacks before from the high school level, and then they never play it down and leave, right? We know there's been two kids from California who've done that. But put that aside for a second. They got the top kid. That's great. It says something about their recruiting that they can get the top. He's a Utah kid in a sense. Dad played there, blah, blah, blah. Parents most likely wanted him to stay local, and BYU cooled their interest, so there was really no other place to go if you wanted to play, go to the highest level. He could have considered Utah State, but that wasn't in the cards, right? And then I think, too, what I also heard that what's good about it is that there's a stud lineman at corner who transferred in, and that's the way it is these days. And he's offered by Alabama and all these top schools. Well, he's going to be a teammate, Zach, so Zach can work on him. And there's Nakua's youngest brother. He can work on that kid. They've played. They've been in 7-on-7 stuff together. And so have them have a better opportunity to get some in-state kids, because the top in-state kids have been leaving the state, and they've been significant impact players. And that's been somewhat of a blow. You know, I could speak from the Arizona perspective. Those kids can't get out of the state fast enough. If you can help recruit these kids to Utah, that's a positive. So all in all, right now, from the recruiting standpoint, it's a positive for Utah. We'll see if he can help get other kids there. BYU, they rolled with it a little bit. They're not that upset. And I know it sounds like, oh, they didn't want him. That's the old familiar line. But take it for believe it or don't believe it. I'm at the stage of my life when I tell you something that I know that I've been told as a fact. If you don't believe it, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. I don't feel like I need to convince you of anything.
Patrick Kinahan.
Whether the kid blows up or not.
Oh, sorry.
Whether the kid blows up or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be determined down the line.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and that's why I always say when we're talking about recruits, I don't consider myself to be some great evaluator of talent where I can say, oh, he's going to do this at the next level and watch out for this, and he's going to be an immediate impact player. I just look at what it means in terms of what these schools are bringing in terms of their credibility within schools. Are they relevant? You know, is all this noise about the Pac-12, is that hurting the University of Utah in recruiting? Those are the things that I want to talk about and I want to consider. And I think that was as you mentioned, Utah has done a lot of great things. You know, look, if I have a kid and he's a safety, or if he's a linebacker or a defensive back, or geez, any position on the defensive side, and Kyle Whittingham comes into my home and says, hey, you know what? I want your kid to come play for me, and I'm going to put him in the NFL. Guess what? I'm going to believe him, and I'm going to say, son, you're going to Utah, because that guy puts guys in the NFL. Now, if my son's a quarterback and Kyle Whittingham says, I'm going to put your guy in the NFL, then I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. And so that's why I think it's a really good accomplishment for the University of Utah by snagging him.
That's where I'm going with that. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I believe, for now, it's nothing but a positive. The kid will play as he plays. We know historically, even Elite 11 quarterbacks, the transfer percentage is extremely high, right? So expecting him to play all 4 years at Utah, it just doesn't happen these days. Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. Wish him nothing but the best. He'll get the opportunity. But I think Utah needed to get the top quarterback in the state. It needed to look good. And Andy Ludwig, let's see what he can do with this kid. You know, who knows? Andy's talked about going out when Kyle goes out. Well, I don't know that Kyle is going to be there for the whole time. But what difference does that make, for now? We can't predict any of that stuff. Right now we can predict it was a nice opportunity for Utah to get a splash in the recruiting scene. He's a four-star. Whether he's a four-star or not, who knows? But for now, he's a four-star. And recruits see that, and you want to build momentum off of each other.
So, you know, obviously I do the games for Utah State. I'm tied into that program, and it's been a rough few months in terms of the transfer portal up there. Does this stuff bother you? I mean, you know, as a purist, as a guy that's covered college athletics, what we've seen over the last 2 years, is this bothersome for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it. Loyalty is a fickle word. People demand it, but sometimes they don't give it. You've got to be loyal to us. Oh, you just want to go get the highest salary. You got to be loyal. Okay, I'm loyal. A year later, we need to cut your salary 30%. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? I'm not naming names here. but they throw around this loyalty nonsense. You know, what is loyalty? So I'm not sure that I buy that, because we've seen coaches leave left and right. You know what I mean? They get a better offer, bigger opportunity, athletic directors, on and on. It's just the way the business world, the world works, right? So you got to roll with it. But the idea of I'm going to go ahead and go through an intermediary to tell that person's parents, why don't you come to our school and we'll give you more NIL money. Oh, okay, I'll put my name in the transfer portal. When you're not supposed to do that, right? You're supposed to put your name in the transfer portal and then receive the opportunities to go to school XYZ. They're not doing that. It's like, okay, man, let's forget about the rules then, because the rules are being obliterated as it is. You know, the NIL, the school's not supposed to be involved. But schools are holding press conferences, and they're telling people, you need to give our kids more money so we can win more. I mean, they hold a half-hour press conference in something that takes 5 seconds. And most of these boosters have big-time family money, right? So I've stood from now on, when they bring the team huddle in, it's not family on three, it's family money on three. Because that's what they're going to get, you know, get family money, because that's where it is. And I'm not picking out on anybody, because that's just the way of the world. And so be it. You know what I mean? You're in that situation. Great. But it just seems so flippant. But at the same time, it's becoming more transparent. As my good friend Cardale Jones once said, I didn't go to Ohio State to play school. You know what I mean? So now it's more out in the open. So for that sense, it's good. But basically, it's professional sports, and it should be treated professional sports. So there's still – and for me, I always viewed professional sports as entertainment. I never really care who wins professional sports. I just want to see Jokic trip his way back to the three-point line and somehow get off a shot in the closing seconds, and it goes in. You know, that was wild to watch that the other night. And we'll see going forward what Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum can do tonight. Just give me a good time. It's like going to a movie. So the collegiate atmosphere of it, to me, is sort of taking a hit. But at the same time, when the ball goes up in the air and I'm sitting down there in Vegas at the Pac-12 title game, or I'm in Pasadena, the games can be fun. The games, as long as they're still fun, I can still be involved in it. But, you know, where's it going to go? Who's going to benefit the most? If it's just going to be Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia – well, then what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yep. All right. Final thing before we let you go. Assuming, and I think we all do, that Miami will eventually take care of Boston. Is this Denver series to lose? I mean, we've been underestimating Miami all the way back to the Milwaukee series. I can't see them beating Denver. But you know what? They've proved everybody wrong every other series. So why not this one?
I got to see how many games it takes. If they can finish him off and get rest. Gabe Vincent, they said, is not supposed to play. He's a nice contributor. Either way, it's a great story. I mean, I realize Miami fans have not had to go through decades of suffering. I get that. But all these undrafted free agents that they play, and Jimmy Butler, last pick of the first round, I look at things to how can it benefit the Jazz? Well, draft right, find some free agents who can help you. And who's to say you couldn't be in there? And with the Nuggets, you know, their big pick was Jokic. He was the 41st pick of the draft. It's tough to come by to get MVPs at that level. But it gives some, what am I saying, it gives some hope, I guess, for, you know, not without the Lakers and the big market teams, that type of thing, that they can have this opportunity. But, yeah, I think the Nuggets are – the favorite and probably win, But if Jimmy Butler were to somehow win a title and lead the way, that might be one of the best, if not the best storyline that I've ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt. PK, always a pleasure. Thanks for hopping on. I would never, never cut you 30%. I wouldn't do it. Worth every penny.
That was a hypothetical.
I know. But just know, if it was up to me, I would never do that.
Hey, Scotty, you know, you're right. It's been almost 20 years, and I still feel like a kid. I feel like it's the first year. I love the guys that I work with. I'm compensated well enough. When it comes to work, man, I got zero complaints.
You're the best. Thanks, BK. I'll see you.
Okay. All right, see you.
Patrick Kinahan, the best. You hear him every morning, 6 to 10, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Love chatting with that dude. We are live. We are out and about today at the warehouse. I love this place so much. 1825 South, 300 West. You know the drill. You've heard us come down here. Unrivaled's been down here a bunch. This is the place to go, because I will tell people this. I've told family members this. I've told neighbors this. If you're out there and you think, oh, man, we need a new mattress, we need a new bed, we need new furniture, and I always say, look, I'm not telling you to go down there and buy, but I'm telling you to go down there at the warehouse and just see what they have. That's all I ask. Is for you, if you are in the market for a bed, furniture, whatever you're looking for, you owe it to yourself to come to the warehouse first, because I guarantee you, you will get everything for less. There's no way. Nobody's beating them. It's just not happening. They're going to start off big. They've got so many great deals going on right now. In fact, the man himself, Tom, is with us. Tom, how are you?
Scotty, my brother. Sounds like
Hans. Oh, man, it's so good to hear your voice.
Hans has abandoned you again.
Well, no, it's his daughter's graduation, so we'll let him off the hook for that.
Why do you have to go to his graduation? Isn't coming and hanging out more fun?
Well, yeah, but it usually gets you in trouble with your wife, and then your kid gets upset. So, you know, it's just about avoiding any kind of conflicts at home. You know how it goes.
She might take away his Traeger, so I guess you're right.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Well, listen, hey, let's save some people some money.
This is the big weekend. This is typically one of the best weekends in the furniture business, and we want to make sure that with the economy being crazy, that we do our very best to give you the deal so you'll come and see us first. We're going to do some things today that we've never quite done before, but I'm also excited, Scotty, to talk about our new website. I can finally announce it's up officially. You can order from the website. We want you to come see us so you can sit down and try and touch it. But if you're too busy, go to thewarehouseboom.com. Once again, thewarehouseboom.com. You'll see our new website. We're pretty proud of it. Also, I want to do something. We're going to start it off. We're going to call this the Scotty G Special. We're going to do this through Memorial Day through Monday. Anybody who comes in and buys an adjustable bed, we're going to give you free pillows. And your choice, either free sheets or mattress protector. We're going to give you financing. We're going to give you 100 days, same as cash. And listen to this, Scotty. We broke a barrier last week on the show. It's running through Memorial Day. A king, split king, head up, foot up, with a 10-inch memory foam, gel-infused mattress set. This is normally a $5,600 bed. We're going to do it for $999.
Woo!
That's nuts. That's it for this break. What? I think Clayton's going to join us next break. Clayton's going to be there with you, Scotty, and I'll be calling you from, I got to tell you, I went to a Cubs game.
Love Wrigley.
That was fun. It was
good
fun.
For you. Absolutely good
here,
for you.
I'm here getting all right. A little rehab at sea level, so we'll let you go.
I love it. I love it. That's the man himself, Tom. You hear the deals. We'll talk more about them throughout the show. We're live here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. I'm telling you, this is the place you need to go, especially for mattresses, for beds. Get down here, say hi right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on The Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Hey, don't miss the grand opening of Fat Cats coming up in Bluffdale. We'll be there tomorrow, 13901 South Redwood Road. Hang out with me and Hans. We'll be there from noon to 3. Fat Cats, the best place for family fun. Great song, by the way. That'll take you back to high school in a hurry. Well, me, our next guest, Michelle Botkin, not quite so much. She's significantly younger than all of us. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well. I do remember that song, though.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, look, it's iconic. Green Day fan, Michelle, at all?
I mean, Green Day was actually still quite popular. They were coming towards the end of their career when I graduated high school, but they were still very, very popular. So, yeah, I like Green Day.
All right. Okay, well, good, good. Don't make me feel too old. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. All right, we got there's a few things to talk to you about. First off, not a lot of surprises. I think we all kind of felt like Isaac Wilson was heading to Utah, but how big of a coup is this for the Utes to be able to land the Corner Canyon kid?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, if for no other reason. I mean, obviously we know he's quite good. And when you're putting together a recruiting class, ideally you kind of want to get your quarterback early, right? It just kind of sets the tone for the whole class. Those are usually guys that go out and help you recruit and bring in other kids that you're really seriously looking at and really, really want. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think Utah is in really great shape, having someone like Isaac Wilson on board. You could kind of see just, you know, he's very passionate and excited about being at Utah, wearing the same jersey that his dad wore, you know, many years ago, and kind of continuing that tradition in the family. And hopefully for Utah's sake, you know, he gets other guys equally as excited to be there. But this is a great get for Utah, and it's really exciting to start seeing some of these homegrown kids deciding to stay put, you know, with our local teams rather than going elsewhere.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and that's the thing. I'm not necessarily, you know, it doesn't bother me where they go. I just want them to stay here for sure. You know, because I know now Alabama's trying to get in and steal some kids. Stanford seems like they've been doing it forever. So no, it's good to see kids stay local for sure. All right. So, you know, we don't spend a lot of time, and we should, and shame on us, shame on me and Hans, shame on everybody. But you've been dialed in on the softball team at the University of Utah. Just how impressive of a run are they on right now? And kind of give us the background on what's going on with them.
Yeah. I mean, early on, like last year, so the University of Utah invited me to help do some interviews for them for FanFest. Amy Hogue and softball was one of the teams I was asked to, you know, do a couple of questions and interviews with. And the one thing that Amy kind of came right out of the gate and said was she felt like she had a really good group. You fast forward to last weekend covering the first round of the NCAAs, and I asked her about that moment in time and kind of what she's learned about her team since then. And she said the one thing she wasn't sure about when we talked back in like late August, early September, was how tough the team would end up being. And she said, you know, that's been answered several times. You know, this is a tough team. They like each other. They really gravitate towards each other. They've enjoyed the travel together. And so there's just really good team chemistry. And she said, you know, she thinks it's very obvious. I would tend to agree with her, having, you know, watched the last couple of games in person. You can just tell that they're having the time of their lives, and it's showing up on the field and it's bringing results. And I think, you know, that's why we're seeing them preparing to host the Super Regionals here this weekend.
So kind of lay out what that schedule looks like and who they'll be facing.
Yeah, so San Diego State's coming to town. Those games will actually start tomorrow on Friday at the Doomkey Family Stadium, softball stadium. And I believe that Friday one starts at 8 p.m., so it's kind of late. So that will be game one, and then game two will be played on Saturday. That one's a 3 o'clock in the afternoon game. And, of course, if one team or the other gets the two wins, then there's no reason to play the Sunday game. If they split the Friday and Saturday game, then we're going to have a Sunday game, and that's yet to be determined.
Hmm. Michelle Botkins, Utah Insider for KSLSports.com. She also hosts the Saturday show with Jay Katz right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, there's nothing I want more than this whole TV contract to go to bed and be done, and we can all move on. But every day it seems like there's another element to the storyline. Now you've got Barry Trammell, who's, you know, frankly, a very well-respected columnist, filling, and he came on with DJ and PK and said that he feels like Colorado might be, in fact, making or considering making the jump to the Big 12. What are you hearing in the latest, and where's your concern level on the overall future of the Pac-12?
I mean, my concern level's pretty low, to be honest. Nothing's really changed in the months that I've been trying, you know, to talk and find some things out. Now, granted, you know, in all fairness, my circle of information on this topic is very small, and it's very centered around the University of Utah, not necessarily so much what's going on with other schools within the Pac-12. So, you know, I can't really speak to what's maybe, you know, going through Colorado's head. One of the things that constantly keeps coming up, though, is that it's more than just the sports aspect for the Pac-12. And I know a lot of fans want to poo-poo that. It sounds a little silly. It sounds snobby. You know, whatever you want to think or feel about that. But there is a certain amount of truth to that. And athletics is not the only place where the Pac-12 or the Pac-10, whatever you want to call them, butters their bread. The academic element is very important to them. And so I think unless something comes back that's just like horrifically, horrifically low, I don't know. And especially, again, also kind of looking at just the climate of what college football is looking like overall. I mean, some of these schools could jump to the Big 12, but in 5 to 7 years, if we stay on the trajectory we're on, you know, are we just going to be starting this process all over again? And so, you know, things to consider: the college football playoff and the accessibility to that, a lot easier if you're in a smaller, more regional type conference. You know, you're potentially looking at going through the headache of having to jump to another conference again in 5 to 7 years when the next round of TV contracts are up. And so there's just a lot of things to weigh. There's a lot of moving pieces going on. I really, truly, ultimately believe the Pac-12 stays together. I think they come up with a deal that's good enough to get through until the next wave. You know, and what happens in 5 to 7 years to, you know, every conference that's not the Big Ten or the SEC at the moment, we'll kind of find out.
Michelle Bakken, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Michelle, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Anytime, Scotty. Have a great show.
You too. And again, remember, you'll hear her coming up on Saturday with Jake Hatch. I got to hang out with her last week on the Saturday show out at the barbecue event. A lot of fun out there. We had a good time. All right, coming up next, it's another edition of What You May Have Missed. We'll get you ready for Eastern Conference NBA playoffs coming up next. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Come by, all kinds of great savings. I just got a mattress here last week. We needed a new queen, came in here, bam. Got it squared away. Saved me a ton of money. These guys are going to help you out as well. It's the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Here's what I think is next. It's super conferences. I think it's more of an NFL type of model. You know, if you listen to Kyle Whittingham, I think it's not going to be divided by conference so much as it's going to be divided by the haves and the have-nots. That's the strategy that they're implementing up on the hill here in Salt Lake, is we want to be one of the haves. And you're haves because you put the money into it and you have a top 25 program and you become a have. And if you're one of those, you're gonna be a part of it. But if you're not, really the haves in the Pac-12 would be Washington, Oregon, and Utah.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2 Cheat Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Any part of the show, every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great day. Hey, you know what? Let's give away some tickets. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze at the Delta Center coming up on September 30th. Tickets will be transferred electronically at a later date. And remember, if you do not win tickets and you would love to see them, all you have to do is go to Ticketmaster.com. And remember, he's got two shows, September 29th and 30th, both at 7 o'clock at the Delta Center. And by the way, if you've been driving by 300 West and you've been seeing the Delta Center, the signs are going up, Lloyd. I don't know if you saw it on your way into work this morning, but the crane is out and Vivint Arena has been taken, or Vivint signs have been taken down, and now the Delta Center, the logo, all of that has been is going up as we speak. So they're not messing around.
Thought I hopped in the DeLorean and I went back in time.
I know, right? We get John and Carl back with us too. That'd be good in their prime. Let's go. You know, and by the way, I'm going to hang out with Jake a little bit tomorrow morning from 10 to 11. Ben's out. So I'm going to sit in with him for an hour tomorrow. And you know, I listened to him and Jake Hatch go back and forth on the show today and about whether or not the NBA is doing enough to promote Jokic and you know, Lisa Salter's coming out and saying, well, yeah, you know, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to Jokic, but boy, he's a really good player. Have you guys seen how good he is? He's really good. And not, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but still it's like, hey, Lisa, this is your job. Like, you need to be paying attention to these guys. And it's interesting because the NBA has, whether it's intentional or not, and that's the thing, I think there's a lot of layers to it. I don't think people sit around in a boardroom and say, hey, let's screw over the Nuggets or let's not pay attention to anybody with the Jazz or anything like that. But there is something that happens within that league where they do gravitate towards your stars. And you don't see that in other sports. You look in the NFL, you cannot find a smaller market than Green Bay. Now, Green Bay was just lucky that 100 years ago they had an NFL team, and they've been able to hold on to it ever since. In no way, shape, or form would Green Bay ever be in the market for a professional franchise now. It just wouldn't happen. But 100 years ago, they were lucky to get one, and when it didn't matter the size of your city. And so now they've held on to it, and it's been awesome. But, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay for the majority of his career. Brett Favre before him. You can be a star and be in Green Bay. I don't know if you can be a true NBA star and be in one of the mid-market cities, which is why a lot of these players realize, well, I've got to go somewhere else. Like, we can, you know, you can, you know, be worried about Utah and the fact that it's heavily LDS and all the other issues that, you know, whether perceived or real or not, that come with Utah. But the fact is, it's just small market. It's in the Mountain Time Zone. It's just not, doesn't get a lot of love on a national scene. And so, based on that, it does fly under the radar a little bit. I remember sitting at an NBA league meetings, and this, you know, obviously this wasn't for the public, but every year the NBA has their league meetings. And when I was, when the station was with the Jazz and, you know, I was running the broadcast, I went to the league meetings. It was in Las Vegas. It was in July. And the Jazz had, at that point, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. And they were starting to cook a little bit. You know, I think it was the second year with Donovan, and the Jazz were playing extremely well. You could sell that there was something great going on. And I was sitting next to a Jazz official who I will not name, but let's just say the dude's was high up the food chain. And we're sitting next to each other, and there's a huge video being played about the year that was in the NBA. Now, this wasn't for the public. It wasn't for public perception. It was for league officials and, you know, things along those broadcast crews and things like that. And they're playing this video, and it's heavy LeBron, and it's Steph, and it's all the who's who of the NBA. And I could feel the guy sitting next to me just fuming, because at no point in that promotional video was there ever a mention of what the Jazz had accomplished. Of Rudy Gobert, of Donovan Mitchell, just nothing. And I could feel this guy just getting angry. And when it was over, I looked over at him, and, you know, he had an expletive or two to say about how he felt like the Jazz were treated. And this wasn't even in the public. This was just within inside league officials. And he's like, if we can't even get love within our own league, you think they're going to give a darn about us when it comes to promoting our team and promoting our individual players publicly? And yeah, I mean, it's a problem. It is a problem. And Jokic and the Denver Nuggets have faced the same thing. It's not just a Jazz thing. It's a smaller market thing. And you could say, okay, well, you know, what about Milwaukee? Well, Milwaukee won a title with the Freak. And his game kind of transcended enough. That guy is such a freakish athlete, and he's such a highlight reel waiting to happen on any given night, that there are certain players that can transcend it. But Jokic is not an overly flashy player. His play on its own is not necessarily going to transcend and force his way into your phone or your TV or however you digest highlights. It just doesn't happen very often, especially in a regular season. Now, the playoffs are an entirely different thing. And remember, this hasn't always been the case here in Utah, because look, back in the day, but and this was before satellite TV, this was before social media, it's before streaming, John and Carl were household names. Look, I grew up in Idaho. Now, you could say, well, Idaho's a 3-iron away from Salt Lake City, and you'd be right, but however, I didn't get K-Jazz growing up. We didn't have access to that, so I wasn't watching the Jazz on a nightly basis. We didn't have Salt Lake local channels. I had Idaho local channels. So here's the thing. I only was able to watch the Jazz when they were on national TV. But yet I knew plenty of love about John and Carl, because nationally those guys were promoted at a higher level than some of your mid-market superstars are now. And I don't know when that transition happened. I don't know how it happened or when it happened. But slowly the NBA has turned its back on a lot more of its smaller market teams. And again, I don't know if this is a conscious decision. I don't know if this is a Nike decision. I don't know where it came from or how it's escalated. But you would think now, when you can have any game you want to watch, whether streamed legally or not, whether you buy the NBA ticket, whatever you do, you can find whatever game you want to watch on any given night in the NBA. But yet somehow we're still letting elite players fall through the cracks. You know, you got social media, you got highlights, everything at the tip of your fingers. But yet somehow it's not as prevalent to promote these guys now as it was back in the day. All right, 1 o'clock straight up. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Clayton was going to hang out with us, but he is not here yet. Fortunately, Tom is with us. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's time to celebrate Memorial Day.
This is a big weekend, Scotty, for you guys.
It is, and I'm going to do something insane. I can't even believe that we're doing this. I'm going to kick it off huge. Or as that one guy would say, huge. We're going to do a 10-inch solid hybrid king with a stationary platform bed. So this is a headboard, footboard, platform. And we're going to do the entire thing. It would normally retail for like $1,799. We're going to do the entire deal for $599.
Whoa. Boom.
That's insane. Here's another crazy deal. How about a Cal King platform bed with an innerspring mattress? We'll do this one for $499. And if you still are wanting more, we're going to do, as I mentioned last time, split king adjustable bed, head up, foot up, with 12-inch gel-infused memory foam mattress for $999. That is, this deal sells at the big boys across the street. And when I say the big boys, it's the biggest Costco in the country for $22.99. We're doing it for $999. It's a $5,600 bed at our competitors. This is the week, guys. If you've ever wanted an adjustable bed, this is the week to do it. I'm going to tell you some blowout mattress deals. I have a Beautyrest Beyond mattress. I have like six of them. These are ones that were on the showroom floor. They're normally $38.99. If you go and look up Beyond right now, you'll see them. They're $38.99. I'm going to do them at an incredible discount for $6.99. Once again, it's insane. This is the Beautyrest Beyond mattress. Go check it out. $6.99. I'm going to give you one more, Scotty. I'm going to give you a deal on dining. We want to move all of our dining, and we're going to only focus on dining deals. I'm not going to stock regular dining anymore. So to make room for a big mattress deal that I just bought, we're going to blow out all of our dining. And Mike wrote down here 25% off, but I don't think that's a good enough incentive. So we're going to do 35%. Mike, I hope you're listening. 35%.
Uh-oh, Mike's over there going, what are you doing to me now?
35% off all dining. This obviously won't apply to if you come in on our big new website and order a dining. We're going to be the cheapest price in town there. But if it's in stock, you can take it home, or we'll deliver it 35% off Utah's already lowest price. Once again, don't forget our new website, thewarehouseboom.com. You can't make it in this weekend.
Let's go. Thewarehouseboom.com. But we want you to come by and say hi. 1825 South, 300 West. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. It is Kurt Helin. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing very well. All right. So, you know, if there was a game four that I thought was going to end in a sweep, I thought it was going to be in the East, not the West, but the Lakers are done, and it is Boston that lived to play another day. They're 8-point favorites tonight at home against Miami. Do you feel like Boston can send this back to Miami for Game 6?
I think they can. Gabe Vincent being out now with the sprained ankle does certainly matter. I mean, Gabe's been part of the hot shooting. He's frankly just outplayed Marcus Smart, right? Like, he's been fantastic, yeah. So him being out and now them having to rely on Kyle Lowry is a risk. And that said, I guess, you know what? It's like that 8 points. I'm like, man, do I trust Boston? I guess that's really, I mean, I got a feeling the Heat are going to bring a little more focus. And I think Boston at their best can send it back. They've been at their best when their backs are against the wall. Just don't trust them. I just don't. So my guess is they send it back, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I don't think this is some sort of, like, Miami's just not going to roll over. They had their bad game. They kind of had a bad shooting game. I think that this is a tough one. Big picture, do you trust Boston to put together three more good games in a row?
No. Nope. And that's the thing, too. Boston, I mean, Miami's been shooting the ball so well in the series, and they had one dud. They shot, 8 of 32, 25%. But that's not going to happen again. I mean, they've been averaging, I think, well over 40% from the series. And if they shoot the ball well, it's lights out. And, yeah, they're not going to be duds three games in a row. It's just not going to happen.
No, and Boston shot 40% in this game, but are they? Yeah, they just haven't been consistent. It's been one of the Missoula things. He wanted to bring in the three ball more, and he did. But with that has just come the variance that comes when you shoot a lot of threes and you're not the Golden State Warriors. If you can shoot a lot of threes, but you've got to have other ways to get buckets. And they've just been way too reliant on the three this year. And they got away from, I mean, not to overanalyze the Celtics, but, like, last year they were just a defensive force. Like, they were going to win games with their defense, and then they were going to get some buckets. And this year they're just an offensive team, and then it's up and down.
So here comes Denver, and they're going to have to sit and wait, regardless of, you know. And that's the thing, I guess, when you deal with TVs, with the networks and stuff like that, you get slotted in for that game one. Was there any conversation about perhaps moving this game one up? Is that even remotely possible? I'm assuming no.
No, it has not. That conversation has not happened and was not going to happen this year. They used to send out, like, this is the start date for the finals, unless both series end, like, in a sweep or in five games, in which case we're going to bump it up 2 days, and this is the start date for the finals. But what I was told was it's not even ABC, like, not liking that, which, you know, obviously they don't love it. No network loves it. It's the bigger issue was international. This is such a huge international broadcasting, and they want the date set in the same way that, you know, the Champions League in soccer. I'm trying to think of major international events or the Super Bowl. Hey, you know what it is. And so they don't change it anymore. This year, when the season schedule came out and the dates for the season came out, the final started June 1st, and they were going to start June 1st regardless. And it's just, for the NBA, I think it's become too big to move. So they're living with it.
So does that help or hurt Denver? I mean, the old rest versus rust argument, they've been playing so well and have been so dominant in the first three series, and taking in over a week's rest, does that concern you at all if you're a Nuggets fan?
Probably a little, but at this time of year, I don't know. There's a trade-off there of just some rest, like you said, just getting some rest, like just getting your bodies right.
Yeah.
You've just gone through a few series and it's been physical. So I don't think it bothers them that much. I don't think it's at this time of the season, it's going to take them long to get, you know, back in. And I don't, unless that other series goes seven until Monday night, like kind of a healthy gap for, if it ends tonight, it's a healthy gap for Miami. And even if it goes till Saturday, that's probably about the ideal gap, isn't it? About 4 days, 4 to 5 days. Like, you get some rest, but you don't really lose anything. This is a little longer, but after counting everything with preseason, what are they at, 100 games and change, whatever number they're at, like, I think they'll pull it together.
So you tell me if I'm wrong. You're in California, and you cover, you know, you have access to Lakers far more than we do, but I know LeBron took a lot of heat because people thought when he was talking retirement that everybody's, oh, it's LeBron being LeBron and making it about him, and he's just trying to get attention on him. But when you listen to the comments, and we played it a few times, it really felt like it was a stream of conscience. Like he was just talking what was on his mind. And I think he just saw his good friend retire in Carmelo. I think that he was beat up. He was tired. He's worn out. He's 38 years old. And I think in his mind, he truly thought, like, I'm going to consider retirement. Now, honestly, I don't think there's any way it ever happens, but I think there was some genuine thought there at that moment when he was talking about spending some time and thinking about it.
That is why you are one smart man, right, Scotty, right there? Because, I was in the room, and I was at the game. I was in the room when he started talking about this. And everybody kind of looked at each other for half a second, like, is he going where I think he's going with that? But it really genuinely was, I think, just that. I think it was a combination of exhaustion. I mean, remember, all but 40 seconds of game four. And by the way, I only think he skipped those last 40 seconds of the first half to avoid the halftime interview walk-off, like, just so he didn't have to deal with it. I genuinely think he took himself off and went straight to the locker room so that they couldn't get in for that. He was exhausted. He was frustrated. And I think that's part of it. And Carmelo, I think, does factor in. But I think the frustration is the key here. I think, to me, he just, I mean, again, 40.1, was one assist or one rebound short of a triple-double. Huge night. And they lose. And he's like, we're not good enough. And I think that mostly what this was just that. This was a shot across the bow to the front office of, hey, we're not good enough. We did better. You did great at the trade deadline. I'm out here as your best player and shot creator when I probably have to have off-season foot surgery. You got to get some more people. And I think that's genuinely what it was.
You know, if you look at their off-season, they actually have some flexibility. I mean, obviously LeBron and AD are eating up a lot of the cap. But other than that, it's pretty wide open to try to get something going and be aggressive.
A little bit, yes. But their problem is, If they have two plans, they could strip this thing down of their depth and go get another shot creator. But I don't think that that's the route they go, A, because they just did that. Like, how'd that Russell Westbrook thing work out for you? I don't think they're going to give up their depth for this. I think they are hell-bent on keeping Austin Reeves, and it probably is going to cost them because somebody is going to come in big with them. And you know, the teams with cap space, like, you know who could use a guard like Austin Reeves? You look really good in San Antonio right now with Devin Vassell and everybody and next to Wembanyama. Like, suddenly, that's an interesting, like, somebody's going to come after him. Maybe it's Houston, maybe it's Orlando, and they're going to have to pay up to keep him. If they want to keep him in Rui, that wipes out trying to go get, I don't really think they'd go after. I know that the front office was cool on the idea of Kyrie Irving, but going and getting somebody in a free agent, with Fred VanVleet, whoever, going and getting somebody as a free agent, I think it's going to be them trying to make a trade, though. I think they pick up Michael Beasley's $16 million option, largely because they can then send it out with something. But I think that they realized, look, Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis. He can be an elite player. He can be an all-NBA level player. He doesn't create his own shot. It was Austin Reeves and LeBron creating shots, and you're going to have to get somebody else into that mix. Because LeBron, again, 39 next year with all those miles, you can't ask him to do this.
Yeah. So you're not buying the Kyrie stuff. I know he was sitting courtside for a couple games there in LA. You're not buying that?
I think Kyrie would like it. I think LeBron would like it. I know that the Lakers are cool on the idea, and again, if bringing back Reeves and Hachimura is the goal, and I know that that's the front office isn't just giving lip service to we want to bring them back. If that's the goal, then they just went out of unless Kyrie Irving wants to come there and play for, you know, mid-level exception or something, like, unless he's willing to just take a massive pay cut. I don't think it's going to happen. People I've talked to around the league just think he ultimately re-signs in Dallas, and Dallas probably trades him, but it's just they need him. He needs money. He wants 3 years. It'd be something like that. I don't know. By the way,
so if you bring back,
I'd give him 3 years, but there you are.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, but if you bring back Rui and you bring back Reeves, then essentially you're running it back. And then if I'm LeBron, I'm looking around and saying, okay, well, you know, outside of that trade you mentioned, I don't know how come. Yeah. I mean, we'll be at best a 6 seed, maybe a 5 seed, and then probably a first or second round exit.
You just can't, as much as you can get, look, this is what they can be, and what we saw, this is what we can be with peak LeBron and peak Anthony Davis. They're both going to miss 20 games next year because, I mean, I'm forgiving LeBron for that a little bit because, again, I mean, it's not like he hasn't been durable over the course of his career, but they're going to miss time and they can't carry that. Anthony Davis can't, and LeBron just at this point can't carry that kind of load. It's what D'Angelo Russell gave them in the regular season, but he's got to this series and it was just a bad matchup for him. And I'm not sure if he's back at the. I mean, somebody's going to give him $20 million a year, and I'm not sure that's going to be the Lakers. And by the way, it shouldn't be Utah either.
Yeah. What does Jordan Clarkson look like on this Laker roster?
See, that's the kind of guy they could use. Somebody who could come in and a sixth man of just like, hey, come in with this second unit. Here's the ball. Go nuts. I genuinely, that's somebody they could use. A true, what do you call it, a volume scorer off the bench, an old school Lou Williams type. Like, just go. You just go get buckets.
Yeah.
I think that they need that in that second unit, somebody who can keep that second unit close by just lighting it up. And I think they'll be a very good defensive team next year. The depth is an issue.
Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com joining us. Kurt, when you look at kind of the landscape of what's going on right now in terms of the Jazz, I don't think they'll be selecting 3 first-round picks. I think there's going to be some movement there. What kind of considering the bevy of picks that they have, if they wanted to move up, how high do you think they realistically could? 5, 6? I mean, I don't think they certainly can't get top 3, but could they move up to 5 if they wanted to?
four is available as well, Houston, but they're going to ask a lot, too. I'm not sure if you can get there. But some teams, Houston, maybe. I mean, this is something where you're going to have to throw in a sweetener. It's not just going to be picks for picks. You're going to have to throw in a player. But Houston, if they get James Harden, and I think I've said this on the show before, but I'll say it here again, that's not just smoke. That the Houston Harden is, I don't know that it's going to happen, but there is fire there. That's not just a smoke. If they're looking to bring in veterans, and they can, you can package two for one. Like they'd be, if you can send them somebody who can help them put depth around that and a pick, you know, they'd seriously consider that kind of thing. And then you get up to four. Six is definitely available. Orlando's looking, I don't think Orlando's dying to pick 6 and 11. So it kind of depends on what you throw at them too. But there are certainly picks available. Three is going to be pricey just because, just more than I think you're willing to give up because you're getting a very, I mean, if Steve Henderson falls to that spot, you're getting a really good player. And even if Brandon Miller falls, you're getting a really good player. And they want players who help them now. Maybe, I mean, you'd have to give up a lot of depth to get there. You'd have to give up real quality because they still want to re-sign Jeremy Grant. They've got Anthony Simons. And they still want to chase it right now with Damian Lillard. They're not looking to move on.
With that said, how surprised would you be if Portland picks at three? Because it does seem like they want to move that thing in terms of a veteran that can help them win right away.
It's not crazy. I ultimately, this comes down to this is an ownership level decision. Generally, I'm a fan of, man, let the basketball people make the basketball decision. Stay out of the way. Hey, Ryan Smith, you brought in Danny Ainge. Get out of Danny Ainge's way. But there's times Danny Ainge has to go to Smith. I mean, obviously the owners talk to him, but there's times like, hey, this is your call. Do you want to get out of the Damian Lillard business? Is ownership level call. And if you are thinking of doing that, then Scoot Henderson's great. And frankly, even in a little bit in a transition, I don't think they'd trade him automatically this summer. Scoot Henderson in the backcourt with him, and then Jeremy Grant up front, like it suddenly... That's not a bad team in the short term. It's not going to be enough to keep Damian Lillard happy long term, but you can sell that for now and then trade him, you know, at the deadline or next summer or whatever. And by the way, people didn't watch him. He made All-NBA for a reason. I think he did make All-NBA this year. I know I voted him in. He was really good this year. They were terrible. He was amazing.
Yeah. So, I call, 30-plus college basketball games a year for Utah State. I saw the rule that college basketball put in with the technical awarded to a flop. Absolutely hated it. I know the NBA is flirting with it and might, test it out during Summer League. I'm telling you, Kurt, it's awful. It's awful. And if they do it for a year, it's going to go away.
What did you dislike about it? Because my first thought was that I know that everybody said hallelujah, but I'm like, the devil's in the details of what it ultimately looks like.
Well, okay, so first off, it slows the game way down because especially the first part of the season, it's going to be a point of emphasis, so they're going to call it like crazy. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's a disservice to the official because you're asking your official to judge intent. And especially with the archaic charges that get taken all the time in college, you're essentially, if a guy flops, more often than not, he's going to give up a bucket if you don't call it, and then you're adding a free throw on top of it. So when we're incentivizing guys to try to draw charges and get in there and take contact, but if they don't do it right, then they're going to get hit with a flop. I say the way to avoid flopping is, hey, look, don't make any call. Don't call a foul, and then have a 5-on-4 advantage, which usually leads to a layup. So... I just think it slows the game down. It puts the officials in a bad spot. There's going to be a ton of really controversial calls that are going to be that everybody's going to hate. It's just, it muddies up the water. I understand why you want to do it, and I get the intent of doing it, but the execution, like you said, the devil's in the details. It does not translate as well as people think it will.
Yeah, because my first thought was, too, when I really started thinking about it, I'm like, well, you just added 3 reviews a game.
Like, yes.
At least early in the season. And then that you're trying to get away from those. So, that makes sense.
So Do you think it's likely?
Not in the short term. Like you said, they might try it out at Summer League. If they tolerate it at Summer League, it gets rolled into next G League season. Like, I think that's something you work out at a lower level before you bring it. But, man, that's easy to say at the G League level where the games are, I mean, there's cameras at the games, but it's very different than the NBA level where there's a lot more cameras, a lot more bright lights, but also, it's like you said, you're judging intent, and it's hard with even the camera angles. Marcus Smart doesn't just flat-out flop. He just wildly exaggerates contact. But there's contact. Yeah. Like, so what is, hey, that guy was a little off balance and fell versus a flop. I just don't think there's going to be you can tell a flop when you see it sometimes, but it's not always a clear, bright line like people like to think it is.
All right, finally, a lot of, you know, Lisa Salter took a lot of, she got beat up pretty good considering the fact that she said, well, I haven't watched Jokic play a lot, and boy, he's a really good player. And yeah, it's a bad look. You don't admit to that, even if it's true, you don't admit to it because it's your job to keep track. But are the Denver Nuggets, have they been disrespected by the league and the national talking heads? And, because right now there's this cry for, hey, let's stop talking about the Lakers and stop talking about the team that beat them in four games.
Yeah, I think that part of I can't believe she kind of said that publicly, but I'm not sure people. I say that saying, have you watched Inside? I love Inside the NBA. Those guys don't watch that much basketball, man. They really don't. It's a great barbershop talk show, but. Good Lord, the knowledge can be painful at that. They play a whole game they play a whole game of who's he play for, but honestly, occasionally those guys are like, yeah, who does he play? Like, even though that's right, he switched teams this summer too. Like, yeah. That said, I think this is good for the league in this sense. And there is no way the suits at ABC were rooting for Denver Miami out of this outcome, out of the possibilities. But I think it's good for the league to get this guy on this stage because he is not only just so much fun to watch, but also he's a fun guy. He's a fun interview. He is entertaining. He's got a little Tim Duncan. I don't really want the spotlight that much. I don't care about the spotlight, but he's entertaining and fun. Look, I was watching him warm up before game four, and you know, every team's got to have a 6'9" assistant trainer out there so that, there's 6'10" guys, so somebody's got the big guy's got somebody to bang on a little bit. And that guy had to step away for, I don't know, whatever reason, he stepped away to dunk Jokic's last play, like, of warm-ups. Kept some 6'3" assistant trainer on him. Just backs the guy. He's working on post moves. He just backs the guys down and dunks on him. Then looks at the assistant trainer and gives him the too short and laughs and walks off. They're all DeAndre Jordan's cracking up on the sideline. Like, everybody's having a good time. Like, that personality, you just don't see it enough from them because he's not out in social media the same way. But I think on this stage, people get a sense of, like, he's really fun. He's a great guy. So hopefully we get to see more of this. But I think you're right. I think they got ignored partially because there was so much other drama. Everybody else, the Lakers are always drama. Kevin Durant's getting traded into the conference. There's everything going on with Memphis. So the top teams, the biggest names in the West, were kind of dramatic. And Denver just kept winning and doing it kind of quietly and happily out of the spotlight, and now can complain that they weren't in the spotlight.
Yeah. I don't think they were too bummed out about it during the regular season, and now they can use it to their advantage. Like, nobody thought we'd be here. So,
hey, if there's one thing, I was about to say professional athletes in general, but professional athletes in particular are good at, it's straw man arguments to fire themselves up.
Oh, yeah. Well, always a pleasure, Kurt. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catch up with you again next week.
Look forward to it, Scotty. Take care of yourself, man.
You got it. There he is, Kurt Helin, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Hanging out live here at the Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. I didn't catch that. We got Memorial Day savings going on right now. This is a big, big holiday, Tom. Tom's hanging out with us right now. Tom, I tell you what, some of the savings that you're throwing out, that last call, is absolutely ridiculous, but it seems like you keep adding to it every time you chime in.
Well, let's add to it right now, Scotty. I'm going to do queen. This is a 10.5 inch. They call it a 10.5 inch. Everybody else would call it an 11-inch coil mattress. This is the mattress everybody promotes at $399. I got 40 of them, and I need space. So, Mike, sit down and get ready, because we're going for $169. We did it one weekend for $199, and it was crazy. We're going to do the Miranda for $169. Let's say you want a King or a Cal King mattress. I've got name brand Sealy. I'm not supposed to say that, Scotty. Don't tell anybody I said Sealy.
It's our secret. We're good.
Cal King Sealy's. I probably have 10 to choose from. We're going to go nuts, Mike. Don't get mad again at me. Just get off your butt and sell them. $299. And then I've got King Sealy's, and we're going to start those at $399. These are mattresses that the warehouse clubs right across the street or right next to a Sam's Club would sell for $11.99. If it's their big sale, $9.99. I'm going $3.99. Then if you want the super nice, we talked about last break, the beautiful Simmons. I'm going to do that Simmons again, the Beyond, and I'm going to do it for $6.99. Everywhere, if you look it up, it's like $34.99 for a queen. Well, I have some Kings, and I'm going to call them Stearns and Fosters and Beautyrest Blacks. Instead of $6,000, we're going to do them for $10.99. We have them marked $14.99. Mike, you're going to have to take $400 off. You'll get these deals if you mention Scotty G, or mention that we have a new website, the warehouse, boom.com. Come and see us. This is the best week. Next break, we're going to hit upholstery, Scotty. I saw your text message. I sent you a note. So check that out and let me know if that's okay. Come and see us.
That was your
warehouse.
Let's just say I got my eyes on a couch here, and I've got about another hour and a half left of the show. This is a beautiful couch, and you may have a chance to get it if you can get down here in the next 90 minutes. If it's not, it may be coming to my house. So just letting people know that the booms are real. Trust me on this. And it's awesome, Tom. I love it, man. You guys are killing it. Let's come on down here, hang out, 1825 South, 300 West. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, of course, you hear him alongside Scott Girard from noon to 3. He is also the radio analyst for the BYU Cougars, former Cougar himself, Hans Olsen.
That's one thing they're going to have a lot of, Jake, is a lot of great blocking. This is probably going to be BYU's best offensive line in their history.
Wow, that's saying a lot. You were on those 90s teams, too, that had those Mahler offensive lines.
And they were special. And Roger French was churning out a draft pick every year. Well, now BYU's starting to churn out a draft pick every year off the offensive line. You've got depth, you've got studs, you kind of got it all across the front. And I think if these guys stay motivated and they stay focused, I think this could be your best offensive line that you've had.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It is the good, it's the bad, it's the ugly. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Lloyd, let's start with the New York Giants and Darren Waller. He is a new man. Said about transitioning into playing with the Giants. He goes, yeah, they value our opinions here. This is incredible. As a player, I feel like the place I've gone, you're told to do things a certain way and you do those things. But here, they ask a lot of questions. They want to know what you're thinking. They want you to do more. So to offer input is a really cool thing because coaches and players have to be in a partnership. They're all in this together and shouldn't be clashing with each other. It's not a dictatorship. You're not just told what to do and then told to shut up. We're all going in the same direction. This is a breath of fresh air. That's awesome. Hey, Lloyd, where did Waller play before?
Oh, he played with the Raiders.
Where was he at?
But I'm sure pretty much every NFL team is a dictatorship anyways. Let's be honest.
Not the Giants, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Apparently the Giants are a breath of fresh air.
I'm sure.
And that
that's always what it
players...
is when somebody goes somewhere new. What a breath of fresh air. This is exciting. How about you try playing a little bit? Injured all last year anyways. After a contract year. Shocker.
A player, Lloyd. Okay. All right. Well, geez. I didn't think you'd turn as angry as you have, but okay. I thought it was a good story. It's a good young man who's now in an organization that values his feedback. All right. Well, all right. Speaking of feedback, let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Lloyd,
Las
Vegas
Raiders story.
Josh McDaniel.
Another Raiders story. Here we go.
Said on Thursday he had no issue with all-pro receiver Devontae Adams apparently venting, saying he did not see eye-to-eye on the direction of the franchise. Said that he clashed with ownership, he clashed with management, and he clashed with the head coach. Said, but Josh McDaniel said, I respect the hell out of anything Devontae would say or suggest. During the course of the process and trying to improve our team, which I know where Devontae comes from. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's been a tremendous leader again for this spring for our football team. But Devontae Adams says his thoughts and opinions really weren't taken into consideration. And he, again, quote, said, we just were not eye to eye on the direction of this team. Is there a theme here, Lloyd?
How about you just shut up and play?
Raiders?
How about you just shut up and play? Devontae,
he's a six-time All-Pro receiver. Like he's pretty good, Lloyd.
Still, you would think shut that maybe up if he, and play, make plays.
If he had some opinions that you may want to hear what he had to say, I don't know who would you trust more, Devontae Adams or Josh McDaniels, as to what good football looks like.
I'm gonna go with new ownership in Tom Brady. That's where I'm going. That's who I trust.
Okay. You think that's gonna help things out there?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Okay. I had no idea that this was the theme of today's show. I just randomly today. So.
You did, and that's okay.
All right. Well,
and that's fine.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. That's my bad.
It's fine. It's okay.
All right. Well, let's get to the
Do we even need to even say ugly? So I'm guessing it's the Raiders.
Let's just move on. Let's see what happens.
And of course, the ugly.
Hands, by the way, would not be happy with what you're doing to his Raiders. He would not be happy.
Okay.
It's a good thing he's not committed to the show.
Yeah, well, this is unfortunate that this came up on the ugly, but just coming off a 3-year, $72 million contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo apparently has injured his left foot. Apparently surgery may be needed, but he suffered the injury week 13 against San Francisco and is not really improved. So surgery has happened on that injured left foot and may keep him out for the first 7 to 8 weeks of the season. Okay, that part might be a bit of an exaggeration. But, Lloyd, you just signed a 3-year, $72 million deal with a guy.
Did you not do your research? Was there not a physical?
you can't tell him to shut up and play because he can't play.
He literally can't.
Has a broken foot.
That's okay, because all he's there is to look good anyways. That's a handsome man right there.
He is a handsome fella. I just don't know if he's going to deliver you guys wins or not. Is there a rule against Tom Brady actually coming out of the ownership booth in one of the most
amazing things I've ever seen? Did you see Jordan Schultz tweet earlier about it?
I did, and I meant to actually kind of read into it. I didn't have a chance to really delve into what he posted. Did you see it?
I did not.
So there's
a
possibility?
I have not delved into it as well, but apparently this is, to be honest with you, when I read his tweet, I was like, oh, Jordan, come on. Here we go again. We got to bring this Tom Brady thing in again.
May not be a bad idea. You may not have options here.
There might not be.
Yeah. This could be a problem for you. If Janine Garofalo cannot play, who's your backup now?
I don't even know. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know. I don't. The
Broncos stole Stidham.
Yeah, Stidham's gone. So I don't even know who the backup is now. You know what? They drafted somebody. They did draft somebody. They drafted a quarterback from Vanderbilt, I believe.
Oh, okay. That's going to work out well.
Good. I don't have any idea.
Because Vanderbilt, we know about Vanderbilt.
Wasn't they a high-powered offense last year? Red. No. Was it Vanderbilt? Was it? Did Vanderbilt have a...
Jay Cutler.
Or maybe it was Jay Wake Cutler Forest.
Was a Vanderbilt guy.
Maybe it was Wake Forest. Now I'm going blank on who it was. But they did draft somebody that was on a high-powered offense of the ACC.
Okay. Well, good. That's great. I'm sure that will all work out great for you. Everything's
I'm sure. Hey, at least we're not paying for a quarterback that doesn't do anything whatsoever. Didn't do anything last year. And you think you're putting all your eggs into the basket of a quarterback whisper, as you call him. We'll see.
Sean Payton. Don't you disparage the good name of Sean Payton.
I'm going to laugh. You know, you are putting so much out there, so much bad juju out there. There's going to be some bad things that happen to Broncos County.
It can't be any worse than last year, Lloyd. It can't. It's
Come
impossible
on.
For
Broncos
it to be worse
County.
Than last year.
Let's ride.
Let's ride, County.
You didn't notice that, did you?
Yeah, that was well done by you. I like that.
Did you notice the tweet?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You can't be tweeting it. You don't be tweeting at my kid.
Hey, I told him happy birthday.
When you guy he gets saw
you know what
him,
though? He the, your boy trolls me more than anybody. And the fact you give him my number to troll me, not cool, dude.
It's a true story.
Troll me Christmas morning.
For Christmas a couple of years ago, I didn't give him a phone. I gave him like an iPod. But he had a texting ability. And the first thing he did on Christmas morning when he got the iPod was he texted Lloyd and said, Raiders suck.
Which Raiders stink.
I did. Yeah, I. That wasn't great. I admit. I should have probably had a little bit more.
You were so proud. Don't even go there. You were so proud.
When he asked for your number, I probably should have known something was up. He's like, oh, I want to wish him a Merry Christmas.
Right.
I'm like, okay, here you go. Yeah. All right, 150, Hans and Scotty. We're live here at the warehouse. Come on by, 1825 South, 300 West. By the way, that young man, it is his birthday today. He's turning 12 today. Lloyd, I'm telling
you. Don't say that.
Years go by
don't
fast.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
12.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on The Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. You've got you and me, sister, in our hands. You've got you and me, brother, in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. It is Whole World News. Before we get to it, though, remember registration is now open for the Larry H. Miller Summer Games in Cedar City. Join nearly 10,000 athletes of all ages and abilities as they compete in over 40 different events this June. Register now at utahsummergames.org. That's utahsummergames.org. Lloyd, let's go to Texas. Marlin, Texas, to be exact. And let's just say the school system in Marlin may not be great. It's a tiny school. I thought I had I went to a small school up in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. I had a graduating class of like 65. Lloyd, you went to Murray. You probably had, what, 500-600 in your graduating class?
Yep, right around.
All right, well, this graduating class in Marlin, Texas, is only 33 people. The problem here is that they have now pushed back their graduation ceremonies a month. Why? Well, because as of right now, 28 of the 33 seniors at Marlin High School did not meet the graduation requirements due to the attendance or grades. So as of right now, only 5 seniors at Marlin High School are eligible to graduate. The other 28 cannot. So they said, all right, let's not get crazy here. Let's push graduation back a month, and let's try to find a way to get most of these kids eligible to graduate. That's not great.
No, that sounds like you're going to have to do little bit of fudging numbers to get that to happen.
Hey, you know what, though? It'd be real easy to be like, hey, you know what? When you say, look, I graduated like top 5 in my class, or to be valedictorian. Like, there's, for those 5 that were able to do it, there's some opportunities there.
See, I'm fighting against this then. I'm fighting against this if I'm them.
In fact, Alondro Olivero is one of the 5 that met graduation requirements. She said that, quote, they told us that because of the students that did meet requirements, it wouldn't be fair for only 5 students to walk the stage. I would disagree. I would say, hey, no, look, I'm one of the 5 that did the work. Let me have my time to shine. Let us 5 walk across and then maybe, you know, extend a middle finger to the other 28 that couldn't get their stuff done.
Tell you what, that's a little selfish. Exactly. That's a little selfish by Marlin High School.
I agree.
Think about the other ones. They actually busted their butt to get there.
Did their work.
Just because you're embarrassed because you guys didn't do your job to get these kids ready, that's a you problem.
And let's be honest here. I mean, come on. It's really not that hard to graduate high school.
Mm-mm.
No.
Just show up.
Just show up. That's all you got
to
do.
You only have to do that probably half the time.
Exactly. Well, Creighton's hanging out with us. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Long time no see.
Happy to be here.
Oh, man, it's good to see your face. Hey, by the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
Tying the knot here in a month.
Getting it done. In a month, I'll be off the market. So, well, I'm already off the market, obviously. I'm engaged, but
long-term contract, no longer a free agent.
No longer a free agent. Signing bonus. I'm going to talk to my dad about what kind of signing bonus I can get, but hopefully here in the next 2 years, I'll have a little mini-me.
So the old man is in Chicago.
He's in the Chicago, and I heard him on the radio. I said, nah, I got to get down here. So I jumped in the car.
Yeah, so you can get crazy and offer all kinds of stuff without him knowing about it.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of like it when he's not here. I know he likes it when he's here and I'm here and we can, like, battle. But when he's not here, I got all the reins.
Yes.
All the power.
Yep.
So let's come out swinging.
What do you got for me?
We're going to go with our bread and butter. I just want to start with the Split King adjustable base. I heard in a competitor, I was driving a U-Haul doing a drop last week, and I heard a competitor on the radio talk about split adjustable bases, and I almost laughed.
Yeah,
because of their prices. So I'm going to do something that not even my dad said or talked about today, and that's a King Split King adjustable base, meaning his or hers. And if you buy the base, I'm going to give you a free 12-inch infused mattress. And the price, remember this, write it down, under $1,000. $999, and that gets you a 2 bases and a free mattress. It's a twofer. Buy one, get
really?
One free.
Really? Wow.
$999.
For a split.
For a split king. You buy that base, I'll get you the free mattress. That's a 12-inch gel infused.
People are spending $5,000, $6,000 on stuff like that.
I know. That's why my dad's not here. He's freaking open the floodgate.
Let's go, man. I like it.
Speaking of floodgates, let's go to full. If you have that extra, you know, guest bedroom, you're a college student, you're moving out, you're like me, you're 30, you're not married yet, you get your own spot, come get a full adjustable, and we've never done this. I've never done a full adjustable deal like I'm about to do. My dad has written here $899.
Okay.
buy the base, same as the Split King. Buy the base, get the gel mattress for free. He has written $8.99. Screw that. $6.99.
All right, so that's an adjustable full.
That's an adjustable full with a gel infused mattress on top.
So you're getting the mattress, you're getting the base for $6.99.
Correct. You buy the mattress, you buy the base, you get the mattress for free. That's the Clayton special. You come in, I love doing my own special. You come in, mention my name, Clayton special, you get the full base with the purchase of the full base, free full mattress at $6.99. And I have so many mattresses, we just got a truck in. My back fetching hurts from unloading the whole thing. I'm getting too old for this. Tell Tom to give me a raise. But last deal I'm going to talk about is a Demo Queen Beauty Rest Beyond mattress. And the reason why I can do this is because this mattress was shipped and scratched. The plastic was scratched, so the tag was nugged. Yeah. So I can talk about and say the brand. This mattress, you know, we've sold it here on special. My dad's given it to some friends, some family friends for $12.99. You come in, $8.99. This mattress is top tier, top of the line queen mattress. You need a queen mattress, don't go anywhere else. Come out with the old, in with the new. $8.99, you're going to get the best mattress you've ever slept on. Boom.
Wow. Boom indeed. Let's go. Clayton's not messing around. Old man's gone.
Never.
Time to go. It's right here on 97.5. We're live at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
And Scotty, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. All right, let's get to the man himself. You know him, you love him. And by the way, it's all brought to you by Spherion. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Spherion.com. Tim Lacombe joins us now. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scotty. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to get your opinion on something musically because I take a little heat for this. Pre-everything I do for you, Bryan Adams was an elite-level rock star. Am I off base on that?
I love Bryan Adams, and you're exactly right. I actually, that song's near and dear to my heart. That happens to be the song that my wife and I kind of chose while we were courting. So, that's even cooler, but we went down to Vegas. I saw him a couple of years, just coming out of COVID, and he was phenomenal. He was great, and you're right. He does rock. He really does rock. Can really play guitar.
Because, you know, after Everything I Do For You, which was a great song, and, you know, Robin Hood was a big movie, then he kind of dialed in the sappy love stuff. But if you look at Reckless, I mean, that's a great album from top to bottom. And I might add, has a couple appearances from Tina Turner on it, which obviously sadly passed away yesterday.
Yeah. It's those songs, that song, particularly the one that kind of pauses and they scream a bunch. That's a good one. He and Tina.
Yep.
Rocked it out. It's Not Love, I think is what it's called.
Only Love.
It's Only Love. It's Not Love with Dawkins.
Yeah. Now there's an elite level band right there, Dawkins.
Yes, all right. By the great Don Dawkins.
Yes. All right, we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Just how much? Look, I appreciate it. Look, I'm not one of these people that ignored the Nuggets all year long. We knew they were good. But just the amount of domination that they've shown so far in the playoffs on this NBA Finals run has been nothing short of just impressive. I mean, I knew you – I trust your opinion in all things basketball, but have you even been surprised by – not that they're in the NBA Finals, but they've done so in such a dominating fashion?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I was not – I made it pretty public one of the last shows – you know, broadcast of the season and crosstalk after the game, Booner and Locke, to their credit, were like, you know, they were like, Denver's probably going to do this thing in the West. And Jake and I were like, hold on a minute, you know, let's talk about these other teams, because we've seen it all too often where, you know, Denver, like the Jazz, runs out and has the best record in the West. And then everybody gets quote unquote healthy for the playoffs. And, you know, and the superstars reign supreme. But what I think us are underestimated is how good Jokic is and really how legendary this little run is. It's been phenomenal, man. I love basketball. I've seen a ton of it, and I can't get enough watching this guy. And I know some people say he plods around, he's boring, but to me, if you're a cerebral person, if the game of basketball, you know, as Majerus used to say, nobody appreciates the geometry of the game like he did. If you're one of those people, man, this guy's for you.
I think also too, and frankly, he probably had a case for being Western Conference Finals MVP. Jamal Murray's playing out of his mind too.
Yeah, he really is, and it was so hard when he got injured because Denver played so well in that series against Utah a couple years ago. And unfortunately the injury happened right on that momentum, and it was just a tough deal. But him coming back and the way those two guys see each other and play together and compete together is really magical. And I think, you know, Jokic has really been able to blossom because he's got his guy back with him, and he's way better with Murray than without him.
How impressed have you been with, especially on the defensive side of the ball, Aaron Gordon, who doesn't get a lot of love, but I think he's been also a key element to all of this?
Yeah, he's just that. I mean, every championship that came, if you think about it, you go through the great ones, and there's always that guy who just does a little extra, you know, that doesn't care what stat he's going to fill. If it's in a positive fashion for his team, he's going to do it. And that's what Gordon's been for them. I mean, he made a huge three the other night in the guts of the game when that thing was, you know, in jeopardy. He made a big three. And so he's done it in every respect. And I think he's a guy that's really bought into what's going on there. You know, I got to give a ton of credit to Coach Malone. It is so hard to coach in this day and age with all the egos and everybody wanting their career to take a certain trajectory. The problem is guys try to dictate that. And, you know, the great ones just work and it takes care of itself. And I think that that's where this team's kind of gotten to. And when you get to that point, you know, and coaches get you there, it's magic. And you just ride that out as long as you can.
The great Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so let's shift to the East. And Boston trying to stay alive. They pick up a big game 4 victory. Now it's back in Boston. They're 8-point favorites at home. What are your odds on giving this? I mean, what are your thoughts on this team getting this game back to a game 6?
You know, I saw a tweet today from the great Mike Smith. He joined us this year. I got to hang out with him most Jazz game nights for a while. And I miss Mike. So if you're out there, Mike, I love you, brother. But I saw a tweet from him today, and I've got the same sense. It's basically, I've got this sense that Boston kind of, I just got a weird feeling they're going to win the series now. And I know that's like a knee-jerk reaction. I know. You were just asking about tonight, but I don't think it's out of the ordinary, man, and I know they got to get tonight, but when you look at it, Boston shot 29% from three, by far the worst they've shot from three in any stretch, you know, all year long. And so it's a little bit of an outlier that they shot so poorly. You know, everybody talks about their lack of effort, but one of the harder things to do is to play your butt off when the ball continually won't go in for you. And I think that they got a little bit dejected, and I think they gave in to fatigue a little bit. But They looked so good the other night, and they shot 41% from three, and the ball popped around. And all they've got to do is win two, you know, they've got to win one game at home. And, yeah, it all starts tonight. But I do believe that the Celtics, I think it's been proven all year they were the better team. But Miami's just been so hot. But I did see Caleb Martin miss tonight, and he's a big part of why they've been good. You know, those guys off the bench. So it goes back to what Marcus Smart said. You know, if the Heat wanted to get it done, don't let us win one. I think I've been wrong before, but let's see if that actually is a little more meaningful than it seems.
Well, and, you know, you just look at it. Boston's at home. But if they win this game, then I tell you what, I can't imagine how much pressure is going to be on Miami going back for game six. And you got to imagine they clinch up pretty good, realizing, oh boy, we had this team on the ropes. We've gotten up two in a row. We'd lose this game. Then it's game seven and it's in Boston and it's winner take all at that point. The pressure continues to mount. It'll be interesting to see how Miami handles that. But Jimmy Butler's just been awesome. I mean, and honestly, what is it about that guy? I mean, we see on the court, but from just an intangible standpoint, what is it that he brings that makes that team so tough?
He's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He doesn't have to, you know, make any crazy proclamations, and he just goes out there. And I honestly believe he's maybe the best elite competitor we've got in the league. Like, he just competes, man. And you know, Jake and I have gone off on it before. He's amazing. And I know there's been scuttlebutt and, you know, he's been hard in the locker room in some spots, but I'm telling you, if you can get a guy to play that hard consistently and try to do all the right things to win, you got to hold on to that guy at all costs. So, you know, I'm not discounting what he's done. I just think there is a pathway forward. 279 games have been played in this very situation where a team in the conference finals, where a team is up 3-1. 279 have been played. And of those 279, 266 times, the team that was up won the series. But 13 times, it didn't happen. You know, that team with the one came back and won. So it's been done not once, not twice, but 13 times. And we saw the Celtics in this situation against Philly really kind of answer the bell. So let's see what happens. It'll be fun. I'm glad we still have games, you know, that mean something.
You know what? You got to lay it on the line. If this happens, what do you need me and Hans to do? Your call. You name it. If Boston comes back and wins this series, you make the call on this one.
Well, I have to make you guys do something outlandish, and then I have to do something if they don't?
No. I'm not even going to hold you to it because the odds are highly in our favor on this thing. Just no public nudity. That's all we ask.
Let me think about it. Maybe I'll tweet my response. I'm going to make this good.
All right. Okay. Maybe if you work in a little, you know, I tell you what, if Miami holds on and wins the series, maybe you work in a Bryan Adams song for me with the Party Hound sometime.
Oh, dude, we got all sorts of party. We got Bryan Adams all over our register. So that's easy. Consider that one done. Win, lose, or draw. Hey, and by the way, August 4th and 5th, buddy, at the Velour.
Dude, I can't wait. We will be there. The whole staff will be there. Let's go. Love it.
I just got a commitment from it for the opening act that night. And put it this way, it's a former All-Pro football player is going to play the guitar and sing to open the night.
Ooh, look at you go. I like it. At the Velour,
yeah. So
August 4th and 5th.
Have some fun. It's going to be the event of the summer.
Hey, last time we went down there, it was one of the coolest things I've been a part of in a long time. You guys put on a hell of a show. There's no doubt about it. And having the whole staff down there and hanging out and having a good time, that was the high point of the summer. And that was, 2 years ago? So it's time to bring it back. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're coming back. So 4th and 5th of August, tickets will be soon, and the Velour is going to handle all that. And yeah, so stay tuned, and we will rock you.
If you're LeBron, I don't think anybody really thinks he's going to retire, but I think the guy's tired. I think he's old. I think he's worn out. I think he's probably considering it. I would be shocked if he actually did it. I don't think there's any way, but I think there was probably some truth to what he was saying the other night in terms of, yeah, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to think about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, I mean, I joked about, I do think there's part of it too that he didn't want to talk about the sweep. So, you know, it's a great way to get everybody talking about something else. But man, he was phenomenal in the series. You know, the Lakers were not, but at his age to do what he did, just absolutely awesome. And, you know, Lakers just at the end of the day, their issue was they had really good talent, but just the chemistry and the ability to play together. I think he'll be back. You know, I think he wants to go out a unique way, and I think that'll be playing during the time his kid's playing. You know, I think he would really love to try to be able to do something like that. So we'll see. But legacy is big to him, and family obviously is big to him, and he's been such a huge part of his son's basketball career. But I can kind of see that be the way he goes out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so offseason's nearly here. Draft's upcoming. I don't think the Jazz will be selecting three guys in the first round. I think there'll be some movement of some kind. But there's a lot of, look, Danny's stocked up the war chest. How aggressive do you think this offseason is going to be for the Jazz?
Well, it's, you know, like anything, it's when opportunity arises, you know, you've got to have the intel and you got to have the ability to strike. And I think the Jazz have put themselves in as good a position as anybody in the league to do just that. The thing I've really been impressed with is their ability to discern guys that can really play and, you know, that can really help them, the guys they brought in. So full faith, you know, in what they do. If they take three guys, you know, that's probably the best path for that for this year. But you know, the goings on between now and the draft, it'd be so awesome to get a Woj update on all those. Unfortunately, we don't. A lot of that stuff and most of that stuff's kept way under wraps. But one thing's for sure, everybody's looking for opportunity. And if they can find it and they have the ability to strike, which I mentioned the Jazz have in, you know, have so much of that capital that I think it's just now we just sit back and watch. I think they're really prepared. I think they've done, from, you know, my understanding, an unbelievable job at prepping and bringing guys in and working them out. And there's no doubt in my mind, you know, I don't know who it is, but I know they've got their board and I know they're really keen on certain guys. And now it's where do those guys fall and how can we move around if we want to get those guys?
So let's say you are a you're an NBA GM, you're an NBA owner, NBA president, and you can choose between Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, Mike Budenholzer, Monty, Williams. Am I missing anybody else that's on the free agent market in terms of coaches? I think those are your big ones. Who's your guy? Who are you going with?
Me personally, I really like Monty Williams' way. And that's not saying anything against all the others, but I just like the way that he, I like the way he handles himself. I like the way he manages the game. You know, got unique sets and things like that. But I just like his mannerisms. But you can't go wrong, man. Those guys, that is a great crop. I mean, you're talking about multiple champions, right? In that group. And,
yeah.
You know, and Monty's been really successful. So you really couldn't go wrong. I think it comes down to what your end game is, you know, because all those guys have specialties, I'm sure. And so getting into that and figuring out for us right now, who's the best guy, because, you know, you could basically pick one of those guys out of a line and they do an unbelievable job for you.
Are we being a little too impatient with these coaches? I mean, Nurse has won a title. Budenholzer's won a title. Monty had his team in the NBA Finals in the best four collective years of Phoenix Suns basketball in the last, 25 years. It seems like, and I guess, look, you own the team. You can have an itchy trigger finger if you want, but it seems like those guys didn't deserve what they got.
No, and, it's weird. It seems to me sometimes there's trends, and, the trend now is to just whack guys really quick. I've never understood it. I think it is so what have you done for me lately, and not many relationships that I have in my life or have had that have been transactional have been worth a damn. The great ones are ones where you go through some good stuff and you go through some bad stuff and you figure it out, and you work together to get it in the perfect place. I mean, all those years the Jazz stood by, their coaches and, Jerry Sloan and the legacy. Imagine if they've gotten impatient with him because he just couldn't get over the hump. We would have missed out on that awesome, magical year that was against the Bulls, those couple of years. So I'm one that says give guys an opportunity, and what's, look at the course of their career. I think of a guy like Dave Rice who got clipped at Vegas and they've never recovered. Like he was 72 and 30 something. And it just wasn't quote unquote enough. So at a certain point, I think fans, social media, that stuff just adds up. And then decision makers, they feel just like when somebody complains that Domino's or pizza's cold, they got to do something about it.
You probably don't miss being in the landscape of college basketball, and you guys didn't have to deal with what coaches are dealing with now with transfer portal and 1 year. I mean, without 1 year of having to sit out, being immediately eligible with the NIL money that's being thrown out like crazy. I mean, you talk to a lot of these coaches, just how crazy their lives right now.
Totally crazy. Totally 100% uncertain from day to day. The crazy thing is that can be said for so many things. But college basketball, as it stands right now, I got out in 2019, and, liken it, if I were to say I left, on a trip and came back and visited college basketball in 23, I wouldn't recognize it. It's not even close to the same thing. It is, at the very most, an eight-month commitment, and there seems to be a loophole for everybody and everything. And again, you talk about loyalty and you talk about building the program. It's just hard. It's hard in this day and age to get other people to buy into that vision. So you do have to figure out how to operate in this one. But yeah, man, it's vastly different. I do not recognize it from where I sit.
I mean, you got a Utah State team that has zero returning scorers. Not one guy on that roster next year scored a point last season for Utah State. Everybody has high-level turnover every single year, and it's just like I I'm a little torn on it because, look, I want players to be able to expand their horizons, and if a kid can go out there and make hundreds of thousands of dollars, so be it. Good for him. That's great. He put in the time and deserves it, but you kind of miss, the good old days where guys were, the Jimmer Fredettes, the Sam Merrills, the guys that were there forever that really put a stamp on their legacy at their individual universities, and I just don't know if we'll ever see that again.
It's funny you say that. I think that's really what's missing, too. You flip on the TV, and there's just, like, that feeling's kind of gone. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I think back to my youth. I grew up watching Ainge. I was a season ticket holder at BYU and watched Ainge during his time there. And I just remember sitting, I remember when Utah State came down and I was so impressed they beat BYU down there, with McMillan. Was it McMillan or McMullen?
Yeah. I think McMillan.
One of the Grant boys.
Yep.
They were, I'm telling you, man, they were so tough and I was so impressed by them. But those memories you have, and now it's like, if you don't have a roster, you have no idea who anybody is. And then by the time you figure out, oh, okay, that's who that is, they're in the transfer portal.
Yep. It's a weird world, man. And it's going to take some time to wrap our brain around it for sure. Kind of bums me out. Like, I get it. I love it. But I love it for these kids. But it's a bitter pill to swallow. All right. Hey, appreciate you hopping on with us, man. Thanks for chatting with me. I know we miss our guy, Hans, but thanks for carving out some time.
Yeah, I speak for yourself. I mean, I'm sure he's fine. I mean, he's eating something. He's in a beach somewhere.
We don't miss him.
Oh, he's on a graduation. He's graduation.
Yeah, he's got a daughter graduating, so we'll let him off the hook for that one.
All right. Well, happy graduation, little Hans girl, and you guys have an awesome day. It was awesome visiting with you, Scotty.
Love it. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you later. There he is, Tim Lacombe, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are live here at the warehouse. Clayton's hanging out with us, 1825 South, 300 West. Look, Tom is the man. Make no mistake, he's the man. But the guy who really makes the trains run on time here, it's Clayton.
You said it. I got to get that like clipped, saved, and put in the family group chat.
Because look, you know what? When deals need to be made, Clayton's like, "All right, come, I got this. I got this."
But it just makes sense, dude. It's like, you know, the first iPhone, that was cool. But the new iPhone, the new generation is way cooler, right? It's kind of like, box is cool.
Nobody wants that button at the bottom of their phone anymore. You know?
Yeah, you do the swipe up. Come on.
Yeah.
In that sense, and like, I'm serious, I do want that clip. We're going to get that sent in my group chat so everybody can hear that. I'm going to start off big because it's Memorial Day weekend, basically.
Yeah. This is a big weekend for you guys.
This is a massive, massive weekend for Ma Pa shops, especially in the furniture world. So let's do it. If we're going to do it big, let's do it. Last break, I talked about adjustable bases, and I want to go into that after I touch on platform beds. We always talk about adjustables. Well, let's talk about some stationary. Maybe you don't want a up and down adjustable base. Maybe you're just old school and want a platform stationary. Let's talk about the King stationary platform bed. You can find deals for a King platform bed for maybe $2,000, $1,200, $1,500. I'm going to do this deal. I'm going to do, if you come in and buy the platform, I'm going to throw in a 10-inch solid King hybrid mattress for free for $599. I'm on the buy the bed, get the mattress free kick today, so let's keep it rolling. I got another super, super big boom deal, and it's in the same category, except this time it's Cal King. Let's do the Cal King platform bed frame. You buy that bed frame, that platform stationary, I'm going to give you the mattress for free. And the King, we said $599. Let's go $100 less. $499 for the Cal King. Buy the bed, get the mattress for free. That's on both King and Cal King. King $599, Cal King $499. Don't forget the adjustable his and hers split King. We're doing it this weekend through Tuesday. You buy the split adjustables, you get the mattress for free at $899. Don't forget the full, too. You buy that full adjustable base, you come in, you say you heard Clayton. This is the Clayton deal. We've never done a deal on the full. We're doing a full. Buy the adjustable base at $699. I throw in the mattress for free.
There you go.
Boom.
Boom, indeed. Hey, by the way, you're getting married next month. My oldest is getting married next month. See that mattress standing up over there?
That's his?
I mean, you got to get these kids outfitted, and help them out a little bit. Your guy Mike, I don't know. I don't want to get him in trouble. He gave me a ridiculous deal on that mattress.
Family and friends. That's why we're in business. Everybody who knows my dad knows that you come in, we take care of you.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here, and we love to make deals.
But everybody's a family and friend when you walk through those doors.
That's the problem with my dad. My mom hates him for it, but I didn't say that.
1825 South, 300 West. Let's go. It's the warehouse right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on the Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The wheel is
is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, the National Hockey League is kicking off the 2023-2024 season in Utah. Don't miss the Frozen Fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at the Delta Center October 5th. Tickets at lakings.com/Frozen Fury in association with the Utah Sports Commission. Lloyd, I really can't read that liner anymore without struggling a bit now.
Yeah, you did that. That's on you.
No, that's
on you.
If you would have just let me make
I can't even hear it without you, without hearing something else.
Oh, boy.
There's so many jokes that could be made.
I know. All right. Lloyd, spin that wheel. Let's move on.
Colorado making the jump.
So a lot of speculation, and really there's been a lot of people that have, you know, kind of hinted at some stuff. But Barry Trammell is a really, really well-respected columnist, has covered the NBA, college football forever, and he's genuinely well-connected and says it how it is. And he wrote a story about how he's hearing that Colorado may be poised to make a jump to the Big 12. He's been on DJ and PK a bunch. And here he is with David James and Patrick Kinahan talking about the potential of Colorado going to the Big 12.
My gut instinct, really, until the last few weeks, was that the Pac-12 is going to stay together. It just made too much sense. College football playoff change, where we're going to 12 teams, and it's virtual certain that the champion would get a berth. It just made too much sense to me. I didn't see the benefit of coming to the Big 12. It seemed like the money, you know, I'm working on a deal today. You know, I went and compared the television ratings for all the Big 12 schools and all the Pac-12 schools and tried to not just use raw numbers, but look how each did in certain time slots, you know, on certain networks, you know. So, and the truth is, it's not a big difference. I mean, they draw about the same numbers. So, why wouldn't Pac-12 fare okay in the marketplace? And so, it just made too much sense. I didn't think, you know, the difference of $2 million a year is not worth being in a conference out of your region or your time zone or your tradition or your heritage or your history. But the deeper we get into this and the crazy nature of the marketplace, it looks like there is some fundamental problems with the television market and the spring that has always sprung, you know, the water that always has flowed might be slowing to a drip, and it might not be anything other than the Pac-12 happens to be last. You know, Brett, your mark from a marketing situation deserves credit for jumping the line. The Big 12 contract, he got it done before the Pac-12 got one done, and he got a good chunk of the remaining money. And, you know, I don't think the ESPN cares one way or the other whether it has Big 12 or Pac-12, but it's looking more and more like it was only going to get one of them. And it ended up with the Big 12. And that's put a lot of economic pressure on the Pac-12. And can they find a way to get the money they need with the kind of distribution they need? You know, that's becoming less apparent to me. 3 months ago, I said, well, yeah, they're going to be able to work this out. And now I'm just not so sure. So I think it's more likely than ever that some PAC schools are coming to the Big 12. I still don't know that it's for certain. But I do think I've changed my opinion. I think it's now likely. 3 months ago, I didn't think it was likely.
Well, there you go, folks. I think that there was, it certainly can change. It can certainly get turned upside down pretty quickly. But I think there's a lot of people out there that think there's a strong chance that this could happen. So with that, let's hold back and see how this thing plays out. But I'm telling you, this could change very quickly. This could get turned upside down very quickly. I don't think we're quite there yet. I just, the thing is, I talked to so many people, and BK alluded this to about this earlier too, that there's a lot of people up on the Hill, a lot of people that you would really trust, and that usually would be very, let's just say, would be in the know, that still feel very strongly that this thing's going to be all right. But man, there's a lot of smoke. There is a lot of smoke from a lot of people out there that's saying this thing's about to get blown up. And so I think, if you're upset at local people, and you can be upset with me too, that there's a lot of people we trust out there that we talk to, and a lot of sources that continue to say, no, things are going to be all right. Things are going to be all right. And they don't always paint a rosy picture about everything. When it's bad, they'll tell us. But for the most part, people have felt pretty confident up there that they'll find a way to get this thing done and keep the 10 teams together. But the more you hear Barry Trammell, and I respect Barry Trammell, I trust that guy. I absolutely trust what he's hearing, and that he's heard it from good sources, that make you pause and think, well, geez, what's going on? Is this a different story? And if Colorado jumps, because that's the thing. You look at the snowball effect. If one team goes, one team pulls the trigger and decides that they want to jump, how far behind is Arizona going to be? How far behind is Arizona State going to be? And then again, if Utah's looking around and they're thinking, okay, do we make the jump to the Big 12, or do we stick around and backfill with Boise State, UNLV, Colorado State? How appealing is that? SMU and San Diego State, like, really? Because those guys are coming regardless. But if you lose three more teams, how appealing is it to stick around with, and look, I cover and do play-by-play for a Mountain West school. But is University of Utah going to be fired up to bring in four Mountain West Conference teams and an SMU? Is that something Utah really wants to be associated with? I don't know. Geographically, sure, that makes a lot of sense. But that Big 12 may come calling, and the checks are going to be significantly better at the Big 12 country than it would be with that Pac-12. All right, one more, Lloyd. Spin it.
Big Game 5.
Big Game 5 indeed. It is going down tonight. This is huge, folks, because I know they're down. At one point Boston was down 0-3. Now it's 3-1, and you still just kind of roll your eyes a little bit at the thought of Boston coming back and winning this series. I don't think it's going to happen. But Tim Lacombe said he thinks Boston's going to pull it off. He thinks Boston's got it in him to win four in a row. Because right now, hey, you're only looking at this one. You win this game at home, in which you are. Vegas has you as an 8-point favorite. You win this game, and now you're down 3-2. And it shifts back to Miami. But Miami's thinking, geez, if we don't win this, then we're going back to Boston for game 7. This game, folks, is going to be really, really fascinating. If Boston can somehow win this game, Tim Lacombe and a couple other people may be right that Boston would create a lot of fear and a lot of nervousness in that Miami locker room. It's going to be a fun one tonight. Again, 8-point favorites for Boston. Yeesh.
You just didn't want to give a team like Boston that's as talented as they are,
I know,
just a little bit of breathing, like any type of breath of life.
Yep. Yeah, and as soon as they feel like, hey, we got this thing going, and they just won a game 4 in Miami, anything's on the table at that point. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll wrap this thing up next, right here on The Zone.
Wherever you go, The Zone will be right there with you
every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, tickets on sale now for the Be Funny Nate Bargatze Tour live at the Delta Center September 29th and 30th at 7 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.com for tickets. Should be a really good show. Hey, good show today. Big thanks to Lloyd for stockpiling a bunch of guests. Hans is only out one day. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Don't worry about it. I know. We all get nervous when the big man leaves, but he'll be back tomorrow. It'll be all right. It'll be a Friday edition of the show. Kind of feels like a Friday today. Lloyd?
It actually does. Left. Are we sure he's going to be back tomorrow?
No, he'll be back tomorrow.
Okay.
Got a bunch of family in town. Daughter's graduating.
I feel like his commitment's waning just a little bit.
Oh, if we only all loved the show as much as you love the show.
I'll
Lloyd,
tell you what. You ain't wrong.
By the way, happy birthday to my 12-year-old today, turning 12.
Happy birthday, Brody.
Mini-me turns 12 today. I no longer, and it's his last day of school, his last day of sixth grade. I no longer have a kid in elementary school. I only will have, he'll go into junior high next year. So my kids are.
Wait, are you serious?
Yep,
oh my gosh.
The elementary school years are now in the rearview mirror. My oldest is getting married in June. My middle will be a junior next year, and my youngest is going into seventh grade. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, my youngest just put paint all over my bathroom. So, yeah.
Wait, what? How did that happen?
Just messing with polish.
You got it. Oh, with nail polish?
Yeah, nail polish stuff. You know.
Oh.
You know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Yeah, that might have a hard, you might have a hard time getting that out. That could be a problem for you. All right, well, we're wrapping things up. We're live here at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Clayton's hanging out with us for one more time. And all right, so can I tell the story, Clayton?
Please. So put him on blast.
There is a couch here. That,
Beautiful couch.
And I've had my eyes on it. My wife and I were down here last week. We bought that mattress over there.
Boom.
And we have a couch in our front living room that we've been trying to replace. And she had her eyes on that one. She's like, that's a beautiful couch. And I'm like, yes, that is a beautiful couch. Normally $11.99, and you guys slammed it down to $6.99. And then I said, and I texted a picture to Tom, and I said, hey, can you go a little further on this thing? And he sent me a number.
Mm-hmm.
I even said on the air, hey, check your text message. And so I then said to Clayton, I'm like, hey, your dad sent me a number on that one. Can you beat it? And I didn't even tell you what the number was.
He didn't.
And you came back and you beat him.
Boom.
And so afterwards, that anybody comes down here, that couch is off the that couch, much like Clayton, is going to be off the free agent market.
Hey, and guess what? That couch is actually our competitor right next door's brand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could go next door and pay well over $11.99 for that sofa, but he's getting a great deal. And now I love being competitive, obviously. I played two sports in college, ran track, cross country, and played soccer. So competitive runs in me. So when I heard my dad gave you a number, I had to make sure I got you a deal.
Yeah, and you did too. And that's the thing too, because it's Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be a huge weekend for you guys. And whether it's bed, whether it's furniture, whatever you need, you got it down here and it's ready to go.
And I'm just going to highlight really quick the buy, get free. Okay? You come down and you buy a stationary King platform base. I'm going to give you a mattress for free, $5.99. I'm going to do the same deal with the Cal King. If you buy the platform bed at Cal King, For $499, I'm going to give you a free mattress. You come in and you buy the Split King adjustable base. My dad said on air, $1,099. Well, I'm going to do the Split King. If you come in and buy it, I'm going to do it for $899.
Jeez.
And this is something that we've never done. It's a full. So, you know, you got your kid. You talked about your kid getting married. You got some kids, you know, graduating high school, just finishing, or you're listening to the air. You're in the on the third floor, just got to the third floor. That's what I call people who just turned 30. Or who knows, you're on that fourth floor and, you know, you have your own little condo, apartment, space. Or you have that extra, you know, guest bedroom that needs a full-size mattress. We're doing a full adjustable. This is cheaper than like going online, buying some piece of POS, put together yourself joint that takes forever and you get fresh in and you end up throwing it away in a year. Full-size adjustable base. You buy the base. I'm going to give you the free mattress. $699. And I have a name brand, incredible mattress. You can't find this mattress anywhere. It's the Queen Beauty Rest Beyond. Go ahead and Google that. These things will sell online for over $2,000. We've sold them here on a deal for $1,000, $899 while supplies last. Come in. All these deals are going to last through Memorial. You heard it from Clayton. Don't forget the Clayton special on that full. Boom.
1825 South, 300 West. You heard the man. Clayton, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks
for having me.
I love you guys.
Yeah, you're the best. Absolutely the best. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Remember the deals all weekend long here at the warehouse. Hey, Unrivaled next right here on The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.